on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Always looking forward to our Friday financial updates with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates joins us. Brian, thanks as always for taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure, Steve. And it's been fun talking about the world of cryptocurrency with you this month.
Yeah. And you know, I know we've covered a couple of things in our first week, essentially, you know, the beware of speculation, and in the next week, more than not, just reminding people before, you know, if, okay, you've decided you're going to press forward and speculate in this area, to, you know, make sure you've got that 3-month reserve for, you know, you and your family in the event something happens with work or what have you, and then press on. But I think diversification was a big encouragement in our last talk on cryptocurrency. And so this week, covering some areas of, you know, how it differs from other investments, and really some of the things you really want to watch out for as you walk through that. I almost hesitate to say it this way, but this is how I feel about it at this point in my life, is as you walk through that dark forest, dark, scary forest.
Well, and one thing that we haven't talked about yet, Steve, is sort of the typical cycle of a new investment that cryptocurrency represents in today's environment. The typical cycle you see when something new comes out, some new investment, some new tool, some new financial instrument, if you will. There's a cycle where it starts with innovation. Something new is made. And innovation in the case of cryptocurrency was somewhere around 10 years ago. You really started to see the first cryptocurrencies make their appearance and start to be traded. And then you start to find speculation. Speculation is where people see this new thing and they buy into it, and there can be great gains. And we'll talk about, you know, what type of gains we've seen in cryptocurrency over the last decade. So innovation translates to speculation, and then you start to see fraud. People take advantage of a new market, and you see people, you know, there's significant fraud. And we've seen that. There's people are now in jail for fraud around cryptocurrency. The lack of any real formal oversight from the government has allowed a lot of fraud in cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrencies are also used for illegal activities like sex trafficking, drug trafficking, used for payment for those things because there's no real tracking happening. So we're in the fraud stage right now, certainly. We've had the innovation and the speculation, and we're seeing the fraud come to light. And then the next step, Steve, is regulation. So eventually the government says, okay, too many people are harmed by this new instrument, too many people are taken advantage of and losing out. So the regulators come in and start to provide regulation. And regulation can result in a greater sense of security and understanding and oversight. You know, a lot of people are anti-regulation, and that seems fair, but we need some level of regulation. That's why we have lines in our roads, right? You can't just drive
right
on either side of the road. There's rules that we all have to behave in, and it allows us to then move forward with a greater sense of security and consistency. So I think that's what we're waiting for. And in the meantime, cryptocurrency remains a very volatile investment.
Well, and I'm really glad that you mentioned, because when you said regulation, that makes sense to me, but I'm one of those that, you know, there's areas where I'm like, oh, you know, some areas are in the last few years, especially, has just been ridiculous. With the change at the top in America in the White House and the Oval Office, and I think you've mentioned it before on this topic, the cryptocurrency is actually an area that President Trump is, he leans pro. Is that correct?
Yep. And that's part of why the prices have surged, and we've seen a renewed interest in cryptocurrency, since his inauguration, but also just since his election. And that kind of surge we've seen recently is not uncommon. Bitcoin, if we use that as sort of a proxy for cryptocurrency conversations, has gone up and down significantly. So if we look at the history, if you got in early, and where a lot of people became wealthy with cryptocurrencies was by getting in very early during that innovation stage we talked about. You know, from 2015 till its first peak in late 2017, cryptocurrency grew by somewhere in the order of 5,000%. So you had this massive skyrocketing gain. Most of that happened in the year of 2017. It then peaked and dropped. So if you got in late in that gain, while everybody else was bragging about their 4,000 and 5,000% gains, the peak of that value down to the trough in late 2019. So over that next sort of year, maybe 13 months, it dropped by 70%. So if you got in late, you know, you didn't get that appreciation. You got the downside pain. But then again, it made another surge that peaked in late 2021. There was sort of an asset bubble across all categories in 2021, stocks, bonds, real estate, everything was surging at that time. So that drop in 2019, when it stopped and started to go higher, it peaked in late 2021 at about another 1,700% gain. That moved the price of a Bitcoin up quite a bit. So you know, you're seeing this rapid change in value. And to give you an idea, all Bitcoin right now is worth about $2 trillion. At the end of 2018, during that first peak, it was worth about $65 billion. So from the peak, a high value in 2018, or late 2017, actually, till now, it's gone from $65 billion in total value of cryptocurrency to $2 trillion. So quite a surge for something that, especially something that doesn't have any real tangible value, right? Like real estate might, or similar categories.
And I think you and me and maybe several of our listeners, when you say that, realize just how much that is. I'd almost encourage someone to go find something they could put in, you know, numbers on, you know, this, you know, where you could put in a number and it would represent like a stack or a pallet of money or whatever, and see the difference between, what was it, 65 billion and a couple trillion. Because, you know, just to say it, I'm not sure everyone grasps just how much difference, that really is. The other thing I wanted to mention, I was privy to a conversation, just this week, and you know, they were talking about, some of the newer, people young enough to be my grown children. And so I'm almost 60, so you can get an idea, how old the people were I was listening to. And I joined in the conversation a little bit, but for the most part, you know, I remember someone saying, yeah, Bitcoin, I mean, we'll never see something like that again, you know, like what you mentioned, where, they saw a 5,000 time return on their money. And when they said that, not to encourage someone to, you know, yeah, you know, maybe I should. When they said that, it just popped to me, never say never. And you mentioned innovation, and there's, you know, there's things that you and I, you know, I mean, if we could think of it, we'd do it and be probably really wealthy. But never say never. I'm not sure that we won't see something again. Either in the cyber currency or the cryptocurrency, or you know, something similar to it, where you know, there would be that opportunity. So it's just, and I'm glad also you mentioned the fraud, because I think maybe when I mentioned that dark forest, that was probably more what I was feeling.
Well, and people seeking that next big gain is what's hurting a lot of folks, because cryptocurrencies can be created by just about anybody and thrown out in the market and built up. And that's where you see the fraud come in, is people do what's called pump and dump schemes, where they, you know, lift up a price, sell their shares, and then, you know, that cryptocurrency may not exist. And there's, for every Bitcoin and Ethereum, some of the more established cryptocurrencies, there's dozens of smaller ones that are now worth, in some cases, hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars in total value, that a lot of those may not exist in a year or two. So someone's going to lose value.
Well, and that's where the regulation you mentioned comes in, correct?
Exactly. There's actually a great video you can look up on YouTube. I think it's a 13-year-old boy, and he creates a cryptocurrency. It quickly jumps to $50,000 of value, and he sells it and dumps it out. And he basically, you know, 13-year-old just playing on his computer, makes $50,000 of other people speculating. And some of these coins are almost comical. I mean, Steve, there's one that's called Fartcoin.
Yeah.
It's worth a couple billion. So there's some of these are just ridiculous. And the other thing I'd remind people is that type of exceptional gain is gets harder and harder to achieve as these cryptocurrencies grow in value. For example, Bitcoin's been trading somewhere between 100 to 105,000 in value for the last several weeks. So if you think about it, for Bitcoin to go up another 1,000%, it would have to go up to $1 million for a Bitcoin. Yeah. So that may not be impossible, but at some point it becomes less probable that you'll see that type of exceptional gain. So we sometimes call that rear view mirror investing, where people are looking in the rear view mirror saying, look what happened on this in the past. If I buy it now, I can get the same, where we should be looking down the windshield, you know, where looking forward, you know, how probable is it that Bitcoin will go from 105,000 to, you know, 1,050,000. That's what a tenfold increase would look like. So, you know, if you feel like that's possible or probable, then maybe you have those expectations. The last thing I'd say on that is one of the best ways to detect an asset bubble, something that's inflated, is to survey the investors participating and see what their expectation is for forward returns. Meaning you go around and you say, hey, you own cryptocurrency. How much do you think that might grow in the future? Because the more people think something will grow, the more speculative their behaviors. This is actually a way that some economists predicted the 2008 financial crash and the housing bubble was back in 05, 06. They were asking real estate investors, what type of gain do you expect to get in your housing? And a lot of them said 15 to 20% per year. Well, real estate has never really performed that well. So it created this sense of speculative behavior. And when you talk to cryptocurrency investors, they often invest with the expectation that they're going to make 5, 10, 15 times returns on their money. And so that creates this speculative appetite and eventually an asset bubble that then collapses. So we're seeing a lot of that speculation that we talked about and the fraud right now. So hopefully the next step is a sense of regulation and certainty that will allow us to proceed with more certainty and safety.
All right. Well, buyer/investor beware. Brian, thank you so much for, really caring enough for our listeners to provide them this kind of education and maybe a simple warning or, if you're going to proceed, here's things to consider. I just so much appreciate that. And I know that if they go to johnmoore.com at no cost to them, they'll find on the Insights tab a lot of what we've talked about here in way of cryptocurrency. Anything else before we go?
I think that's it, Steve. And we've got a full hour next week. This will be great. And look forward to that.
All right, Brian, always appreciate it, and have a great weekend. We'll catch up with that full hour next week, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.